So much. Good to have him back. Well, I want to preach for just a little while this evening, and I want you to look, if you would, at Matthew chapter 11, verse number 28, a very familiar verse when you find it. You'll be looking there. I'm going to read to you John chapter 14, one of my favorite passages of Scripture, verse number 6. You're looking at John 11, but John 14, 6 says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I'm going to try to shorten things up a little bit. And I was going to tell you at the conclusion that Jesus is not a part of our life. He's not a portion or a piece or a section or a category. He is supposed to be our life. I'm crucified with Christ, and He is my life, and I'm in Him, and He in me. And it's not just a little section of what I do. It's not just like, oh yeah, by the way, I am also a Christian. It's supposed to be the part that encompasses everything that we are. We are in Him. I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. In John 11, or Matthew 11, verse number 28, as I had you turn there, the Bible says, as Jesus is speaking to those, that invitation to come, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. One little boy was quoting that, and he said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll do the rest. Well, that's not bad. I mean, it's not exactly right, but it's not bad either. And I think about that song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, these two verses speaking of the need to turn our eyes upon Jesus, come to Him, and He would give us rest. And He is supposed to be all of our life. Sometimes we get guilty of trying to pretty up something that's rotten to the core. Sometimes somebody will shine and polish a car, maybe some car dealer that's not very honest and tries to clean up everything on the outside and polish it and get it right, yet there's some rusted parts in the frame and it's not sturdy and it's not steady and it's not stable. Sometimes that's about the way we do with a life. Sometimes people put new siding on a house and try to pretty it up when really the foundation is the problem, that it's sinking on that back left corner and it needs shored up and it needs strength and it needs solid underneath there before you ever start doing the pretty things on the outside. And sometimes there's churches that exact same way. They'll come up with a new program or come up with something that would be very appealing to people, maybe some glossy booklets or a wonderful website or something, kind of social media presence, yet from the very core of that church, they are not standing solid upon the solid rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm saying this, that if you want to get your house fixed, you want to call a contractor. If you want to get your car fixed, you call a mechanic. If you want to get your pipes fixed, you call a plumber. And so when your life needs fixed, it's not just that you call a cosmetologist to fix on the outside. Instead, you want to call Jesus Christ and you want to stand upon Him. And the Scripture says that He stands there, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. That passage in Revelation where it says He stands at the door, knocks. It's true, you can apply that in many different ways, that He stands ready to help and to be there for you. And I want to just give you a few topical thoughts as we close this day out. It's been a wonderful day in the house of God. But a couple topical thoughts as you turn your eyes upon Jesus in everything that we go. In Matthew, you're in chapter 11. Look at chapter 8, if you would. And we see that we turn our eyes upon Jesus, or we should rather, in the storm. We turn our eyes upon Jesus in the storm. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 25, the Bible says, His disciples came to Him and awoke Him and saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And He saith unto them, why are you so fearful, O ye of little faith? Then He arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey Him? We ought to turn our eyes upon Jesus. Now, this is a physical storm, and there's a whole lot of messages preached about how to behave in the storm, and I've preached some as well. But I'm saying this, that when things come in your life that you're not ready for and that you don't desire, these disciples didn't want that, and there was something that they were not desirous of, yet as they saw it come upon them, they went to Jesus, and as they told Him in a couple other places, says, Lord, don't you care that we perish? I always think, what a silly question. The Lord that created the world, don't you even care? Of course He cares. When I was about 5 years old, the heart specialist came, told mom and dad that I was going to need a surgery within a couple weeks. And dad, mom didn't know what to do, went to God, prayed, sought the Lord, tried to find out what they should do, and didn't get any peace about going forward with that. And it was good because I turned out fine and didn't need that surgery that they thought we did, but God did a lot of great work there. And I'm saying, though, as a young little kid, I was the baby of their family, and 5 years old, that you get told that by some specialists at a hospital, it's a major storm. And there's people in this room that you're going through things right now. You've got a trip to Vanderbilt. You've got a trip to Knoxville, UT. You've got a trip to somewhere. The doctors have told you they're looking at this. You're taking treatments right now. You're waiting on some results to get back. And those storms come into our lives. And we still, even though we know this academically in our minds, we don't always act upon it. Jesus says to come unto him that we're laboring or heavy laden, he'll give us rest when the storms come to our lives. I'm afraid that sometimes we wait till the very end to go to Christ, when it should be what we do at the very get-go. Turn your eyes upon him in the storm. We preached just not too long ago about Mary and Martha, and you can turn there. You can write it down. Luke chapter 10, verse number 40 and 41, 42. Martha was cumbered about, the Bible says, with much serving. Not only should we turn our eyes on him in the storm, the problems that come in our lives, but I can tell you this, that we also ought to turn our eyes upon him in our area of service. You know, there's a dangerous thing that we get involved in when we're doing something at the church or for our family or something we believe God's called us to do. I'll illustrate it by a bus captain, a friend of mine years ago that was our bus captain and working in the ministry. And his wife started noticing that a lot of other people weren't doing that. Here they were laboring and being hot on the bus. Amazing things, hot in the summer, but it turns around it's cold in the winter, so you kind of even it out. Notice that others weren't doing that, and so it wasn't long till some statements started coming, and then they quit. I think the main reason, because they got their eyes on what other people weren't doing. And you know what's the hardest battle to win, and maybe impossible? It's that battle of competition and comparison. There's a couple of reasons why it's hard to win. One, you're not always seeing the whole picture. You're only seeing the short game and not seeing the long game, but then also you're not even seeing the whole picture right there in the short game. I think about it with social media, Facebook and Instagram and the like. You see that and people are having such a wonderful time and everything's going well. Their parties are all great and they're well attended and it's always sunshine and everything's good and all is well. And you look at that and you say, why isn't my life that way? Well, I can tell you why. You live with yourself 24/7. You see everything, the good, the bad, and the ugly. You only see the good on their life. Everybody has a good day on Instagram. If it's not a good day, they don't post it. Well, now some of us do say, oh, such a hard day. And those are the ones you scroll right past. We don't want to hear you about your hard day. But everybody's having a good day on social media. And so we compare ourselves, and before long, we're quitting what we know we're supposed to be engaged in, maybe at work or maybe at church or maybe with our family. And there are people that are leaving their families behind because they start looking with comparison and envy of somebody else. But I'm saying this, that Martha was cumbered, and the problem with Mary and Martha, the issue going back and forth was not that one was working and one wasn't, because that part was fine. The problem was the one that was in there laboring was looking over the other one and said, why ain't she doing something? And as long as she was just serving the Lord, I believe she was fine. But when we start comparing ourselves and seeing what they're not doing, turn your eyes upon him in the work of the Lord. But, you know, my dad went to heaven here not too long ago, and many of you in this room, you've gone through that valley just like my family has. And as we talk about turning our eyes upon Jesus, just to give you this last thought, I've got some others, but I'm going to stop. That we turn our eyes upon Jesus in the time of death. Well, of course, your own death. You should be ready and have your preparations made. But it was Mary and Martha, those same couple of ladies that had their brother. And he died and said, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother had not died. We need to turn our eyes upon Jesus in the valley of death when people that we love are going on. My mama told me a couple years before she went to heaven, she said, John, you need to make sure you spend time. And she told me a group or two of people that are neglected and forgotten. She said, because it gets awful lonely. She never said once that my papa died. She'd call him dad, said dad went away. Every time she'd talk about, well, since dad went away, this. And death of a loved one's hard. And the only way to get through that is to turn your eyes upon Jesus. I remember a particular funeral. I was at Grace Gospel Baptist Church up in the hill. My wife started there when she was a girl, her parents and her. And there was a young girl that had passed very tragically. And the common question around that funeral outside as the crowd spilled out after it was over and people were mingling around, it was a pretty day. The question was, why? It's the same question that you have and that I have. When somebody seems to go to heaven prematurely, when they leave out and it's not their time. But the only thing we can do is just turn our eyes upon Jesus Christ and realize that there's so much that we don't see. And realize that He's the author and the giver of life. And when He chooses to take somebody's life away, you can't look at Him and say, Lord, that's not fair. Because truly the Lord was the one that gave it. A sweet Christian couple had said when their child died prematurely, they said, we're trying to not think about why he is gone so soon and be heartbroken about that. What we're trying to do is remember of the 9 years that God gave us with him instead of complaining about the fact that he's gone after only 9 years. And the only way that mindset and that thought is one, or that's had rather, is when we turn our eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. I saw some boys, they were practicing basketball some time ago, and they're going down there, and one of them got the idea they're going to pass it over to their teammate. Only problem was their teammate wasn't expecting it. So as they threw it, hit him right there in the head. And I'm reminded of the saying, keep your eye on the ball. He ought to keep his eye on the ball. And us as Christians, we need to keep our eyes upon Jesus Christ. Because anything else that we put our eyes upon is going to disillusion us and discourage us, put us in a spot that we're no good to ourselves or anybody else. If we didn't look around and compare ourselves with ourselves, as the Bible tells us not to do anyways, but if we didn't look around and compare ourselves, we'd be doing pretty good. But we always find somebody who seemingly at the moment is doing a little better than we are and gets us down. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. Kim, are you playing for us tonight? Would you come and find that song? I'm not sure what number that is. And Miss Marion, if you'll find it as well. You know what it is, do you, Daniel? 326. If you'll find it up there. And the question is asked, O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior and life more abundant and free. But the chorus is, turn your eyes upon Jesus. I'm going to ask you to come and lead us in that, Brother Daniel. We'll start off with the chorus. And as they start to play here in just a little bit, I want you to think about what's going on in your life right now. And whatever it is, I can tell you whether or not you're overwhelmed. If you're looking at the problem and you're looking at other people who you don't think are having your problem, then you're overwhelmed. If you're having victory and you're making it through, it's because your eyes are turned upon Jesus Christ. I challenge you to do that. Would you stand together if you're able? Let's sing this. But if the Lord's moving upon your heart, you want to give something to God, you come and yield it to Him.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Yeah.
Father, I pray that you'd help us tonight. And as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, say, Pastor, I'm not sure. You didn't preach on salvation, but I'm worried, I'm convicted, I'm afraid. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Would you lift your hand up and just let me pray for you? I won't call your name out. I wouldn't embarrass you for anything. Say, Pastor, I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. I will tell you, you need to turn your eyes upon Jesus and be saved. But I never like to close a service, but why don't give somebody the opportunity? Father, I pray that that's the truth. I pray everybody in this room knows you. But if they don't, I pray that before they pillow their head tonight, they would be sure they've got their faith in you. They're saved, born again. Not a church member, not a good person in the eyes of the world, but born again. Bless it to be so, I pray. Help us to look to you, we ask, and we'll thank you for it all in Jesus' name. You may look this way. I'm going to ask the men from West Coast Baptist College to slip back to their table, and I hope you'll get by and get some information from the school, and you'd be praying for that. If God would so lead you to go there, it's a wonderful place. We've got wonderful Bible colleges across this country, and we're certainly glad for this one as well. And then we'll ask Carter, if you don't mind, Carter, I'm going to be out in the lobby. You come out with me, and I hope you get by and tell Carter you're going to be praying for him and encourage him, and he is going back to Bible college as well in the fall. But he's going to go serve in another ministry for some weeks before that happens. But he has been a joy to have, and I thank God for him. And once you get by, and encourage him along the way. And thank you so much for being here. Ladies, don't forget to sign up for that prepper course of canning. It will be help you. I tell you, if it all goes down and you don't have those green beans canned, you're going to say, why did I not listen to the pastor? And so now's your chance. Sign up in the lobby or on the app, either one. Thank you for being in church tonight. We have anything else? All right, God bless you. You're dismissed.